You're listening to the public feed of Carefree Highway Revisited, which includes only a portion of this conversation. To hear the complete discussion, become an FM Plus subscriber. Sign up in Apple Podcasts or see the show notes for details.
The first guest of the evening is truly a poet. He's an artist. He is a friend and an inspiration to anyone who I think who has ever played the guitar or tried to write poetry. Would you please welcome Gordon Lightfoot?
Blues. This is one that's not necessarily the best known of his works, but it's maybe the best story song that he had written up until that time. So what do you think? Original or remake?
I really like the original on this one because I view it as a folk song. They did a solid job on Gord's Gold, and I would have predicted that Lightfoot would have made sure this one got re-recorded because he always kind of turned to this in concerts, and he loved to tell the story about why he wrote this song and all of that stuff. And so, you know, that just comes out over and over. And you hear a little bit of that empathy that he has for the song in the Gord's Gold version. But when I listen to the two back to back, I just think it fits better in the original kind of classic acoustic sound, simpler. I just like it straight out. You said coffee house before. To me, that's what this is.
I get the same feeling from the original, but I do like the different touches that wound up in the re-recording. I like the fact that there's a sparse sort of lead guitar in this one. In the Gord's Gold version, I thought it absolutely worked perfectly. And I liked for the fact that some reason his voice sounds better on Gold for me than it did on the original.
I love your emulation. Just like Gord was a big fan of this song, you obviously are. So.
Yeah, I listened to it a lot, driving up and down different roads. Wherefore and Why? Again, a re-recording from Did She Mention My Name? What do you think, Glenn?
Well, it's a wonderful song. There's even a unrecorded live version that John Denver did way back when, but it has such values in it. And I think there was no accident that on the CBC special that Gord kind of made that the theme of what that special was going to be. And I view it as a classic folk song again. And this one, I can't pick. I like both versions so well. It's kind of what you talked about. Think about the talent that Gord assembled for Gord's Gold. Amazing guitar players and pedal steel and, you know, whatever you want on the menu, he could bring to that. And some of that shows up here, but I love both versions. I tend to, because I've watched that special so much and all of that, nostalgia might drive me a little bit towards the original, but I'd have a hard time picking.
And I have to admit, Wherefore and Why, some of my favorite lyrics, not one of my favorite arrangements, but I can tell you that when you had the strings and the orchestration, and you also have the country effect with the drums and the pedal steel, I thought you kind of got to choose your side. It felt like there was too much going on, too much fat in the gravy. So if I was going to listen to this song, I would take the original over the one on Gold. And honestly, if there is a weak link on album one, I think it's probably this song.
I agree. And I think eventually we'll talk about what could have been, but I think we basically concur on that one.
Bitter Green, which is one of my very favorite songs and one of my son's favorite songs, too. When he was a little boy, he loved listening to it. Wanted to know what you thought. I'm going to let you take the lead on this one. So Back Here on Earth or Gord's Gold?
Boy, I tell you what, on this one, I think that the stronger vocal might be on the original. He tried to do something different. This is very similar to what you were talking about on a couple of the other tracks. I'm not sure that this song needed everything that they tried to bring to it on Gold, because if you listen to the vocal on Bitter Green, I listened to it four times over because I thought, wow, I never really thought about this before. He's using sound on sound. He's literally three Everly brothers singing together, and they're all Gord. It's Gord 1, Gord 2, Gord 3, and they're all there. And so He is Peter, Paul, and Mary, but it's all Gord. Then I go back and I listen to Bitter Green, and I love just the classical acoustic. What a folk song, and what a story. So this one's probably not that close for me. I got to go with the original on this one. I'm going to Back Here on Earth.
Yeah, I agree with you. Back Here on Earth. I think that's the superior version. And in this case, I think that the attempt to have him harmonize on the chorus, the vocal chemistry didn't work that day. I thought the harmony came off as a little bit too dark. And I thought he would have done better if he had gotten another voice to sing with rather than trying to record himself during the three parts. It worked musically. There was nothing wrong with the way the harmonies came together on a sort of technical basis, but I didn't think the vocals had enough color on that particular piece of the song. I love the song. I've played the song in my own gigs, but I would rather listen to the original than this one.
I agree. And I think of all the ones maybe that where we've made a lot of close calls, there have been a lot of things that might have gone into overtime, but this is not one of them. I think the original is stronger.
And then we get to the last cut on album one, and that's Early Morning Rain. And this one is one that is arguably his greatest song of all, and one that I think he could sing better than anybody else ever could. So, Glenn, are you going to take the original, or are you going to fast forward to the 1975 version?
This is my opinion. If you'd asked me maybe even 5 years ago, I would have said the original, because I equated it with Peter, Paul, and Mary, and that the fact that he did it at that time. And so I put those two things together. But over time, I listening to Gord's Gold version, I appreciate it more and more. I'd give Gord's Gold version like a 9.5, and I give the other one on the 66 album a 9. It's that close. But I would go with Gord's Gold version. I think that Lightfoot put everything that he had learned about singing, even the way he styled the song, it just works. So I would go with Gord's Gold on this one.
Yeah, me too. I'm kind of close on this because he hasn't done a bad version of this song in any recording that I've ever heard. I thought the fact that the remix had some horns in it, that was very tastefully done. I thought the pedal steel was just perfect on it. It didn't do too much and it didn't overstate its stay its welcome. And he ended the song theatrically, but not dramatically. So I would give that one, props for that. It is, that song is actually in the playlist for my walk-in music for one of my classes, just because I think it's got more elements to it than the original did, and they were all arranged very well. I think the kids might like it a little better than if I just had the one with the acoustic guitar and nothing else on that playlist.
That's awesome. You know, I go back to the anecdote on the 1979 soundstage concert when Gord introduces this song as his first real good song. And he explains to the audience that Peter, Paul, and Mary helped kickstart his career and all of that. I can just imagine by 1975, he had the same full appreciation to say, wow, I've got another shot at my first real good song. Let's see what we can do with it.
And it is a perennial, and everybody that is anybody, I think in terms of commerciality, everybody that's anybody has done this song. And I figure if Elvis did it among everybody else, it's got a certain amount of street cred. So I agree with you on that. And it did give him a chance to structure it in a way that he couldn't have structured or that he probably wasn't thinking of when he originally released it back in 66. So, yeah, that's why I think the experience in that time, it really paid off.
And I'm trying to remember, Michael, a lot of that stuff on the 66 album, I believe, is recorded in 64 and 65. Think about that. You're talking about a decade later. And everything that he's learned, everything that he's done, his 70s style, the way he sings, the way he presents his songs, all of that's kind of incorporated into what we hear in this song.
Yeah, and that is done in an absolutely flawless manner. So I think he gets better with that. Which brings us to album two. Now, we're not going to do a huge amount on any one of these songs because they are the originals. We will talk a little bit about the order in which they are set on the album, because I know you found that really intriguing. Before we dive into that too much, something I thought was interesting is the mix of singles and non-singles. I don't want to go into too much detail, but Cotton Jenny was not a single. Don Quixote was not a single. Neither was Circle of Steel or Old Dan Record, Dan's Records, or Cold on the Shoulder. The rest of them, Sundown, Beautiful, Summer Side of Life, Rainy Day People, If You Could Read My Mind, Carefree Highway, they were all released that as singles. So I think there was a certain calculation. But the idea was that you had to think about these were the title tracks to a lot of his records. So I think there may have been a little bit of psyching out of the audience saying, hey, you remember the title track to this album? Maybe you should go buy the whole album. So that was something that I found interesting. So what about the flow of the songs caught your ear on this?
Well, we know Lightfoot is such a wilderness guy, a nature guy, a seasonal guy, a Renaissance man that appreciates life in all of its beautiful forms. And I think that he goes from Minstrel of the Dawn, okay, we're starting the day, and then he's going to end up with Sundown, okay, and then you've got Summer Side of Life, maybe the sun is shining brightly, and all of a sudden it's into Rainy Day People. I mean, just looking at what he picked there, of course, it shouldn't be surprising all that's available to him, because that's what he writes from. He writes from life. It did it maybe better than anybody did in the folk arena. So I love even the order. So it goes from Minstrel of the Dawn to Sundown. And what's great is that Minstrel of the Dawn, if you say, what is the iconic title for, I call him Master Lightfoot. You know, what's Minstrel of the Dawn? So you got to start with that, you know, and then why not go with your biggest, only number one Billboard hit of all time? And it just happens to fit. You go from dawn to sundown. And I also believe that he wanted to probably give some transition to where Minstrel of the Dawn is pretty close to a ballad. Sundown is country rock, basically.
Yes.
So I've always loved that about an artist, where you don't want to get too much in a rut. And so, okay, let's liven it up a little bit. Let's bring the tempo up. And then, of course, Beautiful, following Sundown, you go from the images of the Sundown girl to maybe the classic beautiful girl that he's thinking of in that song. I mean, yeah, that's just great stuff. But I love the way he put it together. And I think about if I had been Lightfoot, what were you wanting to do? Let's get at least the two best songs from each of these albums, because this is the greatest hits. And what worked in the concerts? What belongs? And then what's going to get cut? I mean, he had to make those decisions.
Well, that's all the time we have for here in the public feed. If you'd like to hear the rest of this conversation, along with all of our other extended and bonus episodes, become an FM Plus subscriber. Sign up in Apple Podcasts or at fmpods.com. You can see the show notes for details.